back. You didn't get rid of me that easy. Hey, super honored to be here and doing this. It's always a privilege. I do have a question, though. Has any of y'all ever said something that you, like, instantly wish you could just stuff right back in? Okay, a couple. I'm not by myself. I don't think anyone in the first service raised their hand. I just think they're liars, if I'm going to be honest. It happens all the time, right? I say stuff without even thinking about it sometimes. And a lot of times we say it like, you know, oh, I was just joking, or like, you know, we're just poking fun, or we write it off as sarcasm, or it's just the gossip of the day that we heard, or it's a rumor about somebody else. And we just kind of throw words out there sometimes. But what we're going to talk about this morning is how much our words really actually matter. We've been going through the book of James together, and I think it's just an awesome picture of our faith and what our faith is supposed to look like and how we can practice our faith and the things that we can actually do. And man, I think that the weight of our words sometimes for me isn't talked about a lot or enough. And I mean, honestly, whenever I agreed to preach this Sunday, like, I was like, what am I even going to say? Right, like James lays it out pretty clear, and I was kind of like, I don't really want to talk about this. And maybe that's because I have a problem with this sometimes. But it's true, like our words carry so much weight. Like when I was in high school, I have a brother that's a year older than me, and so we were in high school together for 3 years, and I remember walking into a lot of places, whether it was classrooms or it was just a restaurant or something, and people would walk up to me, and all they would ever ask me is, are you Clay's brother? And that, as a little brother, is the most frustrating question that anyone can ever ask you. Oh, I hated it so much, right? Not that I don't love my brother, but I'm not my brother. And that's what it felt like. When people would say, are you Clay's brother? I just felt like they didn't care about my name. Right? Like, I have a name too. I play these sports too. I do this stuff too. I have my own life. But all they cared about was, are you Clay's little brother? And honestly, like, it has impacted me to today. I mean, it's changed kind of who I was as a person, because a lot of times I felt like I had to prove myself or I had to do certain things just so that people would see me. Right? I would get up on stages and do stuff like this so that people would say, oh, that's Chase, not just that's Clay's little brother. But even today, my mom, sometimes when she's mad at me, will call me Clay, right? Out of just the confusion. Okay, she has 3 kids. I'll give her a little grace, but my name is not Clay, okay? I say that to say this, like, no one ever asked me that question with malicious intent. I think they were being genuine, and they really wanted to know, are you Clay's brother? But in my mind, they were saying, you don't really matter that much except for the fact that you're Clay's brother. And that's how it felt. And that's why we have to be super careful with our words. We have to be super careful with what we say and how we say it. And so my question for us to sit in together this morning is this. What does the way I talk reveal about what's going on inside of me? What does the way I talk reveal about what's going on inside of me? Because in Luke chapter 6, he says, out of the overflow of the heart, words come out of the mouth. What is going on inside of you, what is happening in your heart is going to spill out of your mouth. It's just natural part of life. The things that we say, the questions that we ask, the things that we consume is an overflow of the heart. And so my challenge to us this morning is to consider not just what you say, but what's going on inside here? Where do you sit in all of this? Have you decided that this actually matters outside of a Sunday morning? Man, what we say matters so much. We're going to get into James chapter 3 together this morning. So if you want to, you can turn there with me. I just ripped that page of my Bible. Yay. I actually did. That's kind of sad. This is what it says. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. And we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Some versions say blameless. They're able to keep their whole body in check. And when I first read this, I'm like, not everybody wants to be a teacher, right? Not everybody wants to stand up here and do what Garrett does Sunday after Sunday and preach out of God's word, because that is a lot of pressure. Because even if you would never say it out loud, you're judging Garrett, okay, during the week. It's happening, okay? You see what he does, and his life is held at a higher standard because he's standing on this stage. But I think that what James is talking about here is not just people who are standing on a stage, right? The word teacher and pastor are not the same thing. I think he's saying if you're going to tell someone something that's true, if you're going to talk to people about the reality of Jesus, there's some pressure behind those words. The words, I'm a Christian, should not be carelessly thrown around. You claiming to be a follower of Jesus is not something that you just show up on a Sunday and get to say. There's pressure behind teaching people who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And teaching people who Jesus is and what he's done for them does not happen right here. It does every Sunday, I hope. But it happens in the classroom. It happens in your office building. It happens on the construction site. It happens in your house. Coaches, they shape the lives of their athletes. Parents are driving the way that the household is going to live. Friends are shaping each other's images. Coworkers are building each other up or tearing each other down for the betterment or for the worse of their work environment. We all have a place where we get to speak into people's lives. And I think what James is saying here is that our words matter. The things that we say hold a lot of weight, and they stick with people. I'm 30 years old. I graduated high school 12 years ago. I still remember people in high school asking me if I was Clay's little brother. And I still feel that when I walk into the room sometimes, right? I lived in this town. I grew up in this town. I graduated from this high school. There's teachers when I walk into the high school today that are like, you're Clay's little brother, right? It's just the most frustrating thing in the world because I'm my own man, okay? I have a wife and two kids. I'm Chase, right? I'm not just Clay's little brother. It sticks with people, the things that we say. It might even not even be something that you remember saying. There's so many conversations that I could go back to and point to this thing that impacted me, that kind of changed the course of who I am because of something that somebody said about me. Right? That I'm not funny enough, or that I'm not fast enough, or that I'm not whatever enough, that they don't even remember saying. Like, they were saying it in a way that was just kind of passing by, but it sticks with me. Our words stick on to people. So be careful with the things that we say. I think, too, our words are like this kind of pressure test. Right? Like, your tongue is this pressure gauge of life. And when things get hard, some stuff starts to come out sometimes. Right? Like, we can show up to church, and it's easy to, like, be all spiritual at church. Right? Because we're, like, asking you to do that. We're setting you up well to do that. But then tomorrow, right, maybe you're going on vacation, and you're driving somewhere, and you run into some traffic. Okay? Anybody else, like, hate traffic with everything that is inside of you? I do. When traffic hits, I can become not the nicest person, okay? I'm just going to be honest. And it's just this pressure test of like, man, what you say in those moments is a little bit of who you are on the inside. It's still something in there. And maybe it's not something as silly as traffic. Maybe it's like a bad diagnosis. Maybe it's hearing some of the worst news that you've ever heard in your life. Maybe you walk into your job and you got laid off. When life hits, that's when the true self starts to come out. When the pressure rises and your mouth speaks these words, that is what is inside of you is starting to spill out. The reality of who you are becomes reality to the rest of the world. You can trick people for a little while, honestly. You can tell them you go to Crosswind Church, you go to home groups, you drop your kids off every Wednesday, and you have this perfect little life, and everything's all good. But when the rubber meets the road and life gets hard, and your words start to come out. And people are going to see what is truly inside of you. Because just like in Luke, an overflow of the heart comes words out of the mouth. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. He says this in verses 3 and 4. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses, we make them obey us. We can turn the entire animal. Or take ships as an example. They're so large and are driven by these strong winds, yet they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Listen, our words carry so much weight, not just in the people around us, but in our own lives. Our tongue drives the direction of our life. The things that we say, it moves us from one place to another. A horse is this massive 1,000-pound animal that no person has any business really riding. I'm going to be honest. Horses freak me out a little bit, okay? But you put this tiny little piece in their mouth. Like, compared to a horse, it is itty-bitty. And you put it in their mouth, and it puts this pressure on them. And when you pull on it, it gets uncomfortable, and we can steer it with this tiny little piece of equipment. Or ship, right? I don't know what you think about when you think about the word ship. But when I hear ship, I think about the Black Pearl, Pirates of the Caribbean. Anybody? I'm in. It's a great movie. You haven't seen it, you should go watch it. I love it. But that's just what I think about. I think about this big, giant, like old 1400s pirate ship, okay? This massive thing with these huge sails that the wind is blowing in whatever direction. But it, you can steer it. It feels impossible. And the thing that steers it, it's this tiny little piece of wood that you turn with this big wheel and it takes the ship wherever it wants to go. And James says that our tongue is the same instrument to our life. And that the things that we say steer us in the directions that we go. Your words, what you say, once you say it and it's out there, it's out there. There's no taking it back. And that's why we're called to be so careful with what we say. And that what we say matters so much. So consider this morning the things that you say. And what direction is it driving your life? Because I'm going to be honest, there's moments where I've said things about myself that hurt me. I've said things about myself that drive me towards depression. I've said things about myself that lift me up and make me feel good. Our words can steer our life. So be careful of what you say. And I'm going to say this over and over again today, but if we do not fill ourselves up with the gospel and the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done with us, our words are never going to be good. Like, you can show up every single Sunday morning and sing every single song that we sing together, but if you don't really truly place that into your life every single day, it's never going to come out of you during the week. It might for a moment while you're in this place and we're trying to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But when you leave this place and the real world hits, if you're not taking time to worship God on your own, the words that you say are never going to reflect who he is. You have to take time to worship God on your own accord. Worship of the King of Kings does not just happen in this place. What does it look like in your house for you to worship? Maybe you don't have a place. Maybe you're like, I don't really know what that looks like. You have to set yourself up well to worship the God of the universe. Because if you don't spend time with him, if you don't try to realize who he is for you, then you're never going to be able to speak about him to other people. He goes on and he says this. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by this small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Listen, he says this, that your tongue has an opportunity. The words that you say have an opportunity to ruin people. To ruin people. And it doesn't have to be this big, long spill putting somebody down for 5 straight minutes. It says a little spark sets the whole forest on fire. I feel like in the last like 10 years, there's been more wildfires than I ever heard of than the rest of my life combined. But all of those wildfires start really small. Like no one drops this big, huge firebomb on the forest and it just catches on fire. A lot of the times it's a cigarette or it's somebody left their campfire unattended and it's just this one little spark that the wind carries and it drops onto this pile of leaves or brush or something and that catches on fire. And it's like if you can catch it in that moment, you can put it out. But that tiny little fire starts to spread and spread and finally it just consumes the entire landscape. And our words can do the same thing. We speak something to someone and it sparks something inside of them. And a lot of times it just festers and it grows and it grows and it grows. And then eventually they just believe that that is who they are. What if instead of these words that are just kind of careless and flippant and don't matter all that much, we started to speak truth into people's lives? What if the spark that we sent into them wasn't a spark of doubt, wasn't a spark of hate, but it was a spark of love for the God of the universe, to tell them that they are a son or a daughter to the Father, to the God in heaven, that he loves them and cares for them and died for them? What if that was the spark that we set inside of people? But that truth cannot and will not come out of you unless you are living it for yourself. I say it cannot. It might. You might say the right words. You might have the biblical knowledge to say all of the right things. But if the love of God is not inside of you, it's not going to matter. It's not going to carry as much weight. Because if you say all this stuff, you say I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a Christian, I love God, I believe in God, but you're not living a life that proves it, you're really doing more harm than good. If your words are not backed up with what is inside of you, they're going to be useless. They're going to be empty. And we do not serve a God that is empty and useless. It says no human being can tame the tongue, but there was one human being that could tame the tongue. Jesus Christ came down from heaven and lived a life as a full human, perfectly, never spoke a wrong word to anyone. Never said one thing that wasn't true. Never put anyone down, only brought love into the world. And with his love and in his perfect words, he was willing to die on a cross for you. On his worst day, in his worst moments, when he's getting ready to go up on the cross, he's getting ready to be arrested, he goes to this garden and he sits down and he starts to pray. But because he's perfect and because he's good, he doesn't say, God, forget these people. They're not worth it. They've done too much wrong. They've gone too far away. They can't be saved. They're not worth being saved. No, he sits and he sweats drops of blood out of his body. And in those moments, he doesn't just pray for God to take this away from him. He says, he prays for you. He prays for us. And the Bible, he says, for all those who are going to believe because of what my disciples say, that's us. We believe in Jesus because of what we have seen and heard from other people. He prayed for you. He didn't condemn you. He lifted you up to the Father because he knew that you couldn't do it on your own. Even as Jesus is hanging on the cross, struggling for his last breaths, he doesn't curse the people on the ground. He says, Father, Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He is bleeding out and dying for our sins, and all he can say is good things because his heart was full of goodness. Inside of him was fully the Father in heaven. And so all of his words, what spilled out of his mouth, were good words. And listen, we're not perfect, obviously. We mess up. That is why the cross had to happen. But the more we fill ourselves with Jesus, the more we can start to speak like Jesus. It actually really hurts me and blows my mind. Like, I'll go up to a high school guy and just say, I love you. And how, like, off-putting that is for them. Not because they don't want someone to love them, but because they've never really heard anyone say that to them. Like, yeah, sure, maybe their parents say I love you and their grandparents, but, like, they don't have a lot of friends or adults that come up and say I love you. Like, the amount of times that I've said I love you to a high school guy and he goes, why did you just say that? And just looks at me real weird. And it's like, I'm not saying this because I am good and I'm great and I'm all these things. I'm saying this because Jesus loves me and I know that Jesus loves you, so I love you too. Jesus himself said, by this they will know you're my disciples, that you will love one another. Man, our words have to be words of love. And what more loving thing to say to someone than to tell them the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for them? Speaking of the gospel is love, because God himself is love. So our words are not just kind and good and nice. Our words have to be love. Because Jesus is love. And what we fill ourselves with, again, comes out like, okay, this is a silly example, but it's true. And I think y'all can track this, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. I need a response. All right, if I go to my house, I get this jug, right? And I fill it up with water, and I put it in the fridge, and the next day it's cold, and I'm thirsty, and I come back, and I take the jug out, and I pour it into a cup. What comes out? Water. Great. Y'all are so smart. You're doing so good. Okay? It's the same thing with us, right? If I'm to fill myself with the gospel every day, if I take time and fill my life with the truth of the cross, with the love of Jesus, when I go to someone and speak to them, and I'm completely full of Jesus' love, what should come out of me? Jesus' love, right? It's simple. It really feels elementary, but God did not make this complicated. He's not trying to make your life harder. He's simply asking you to be careful with what you say, because your words, they carry a lot of weight. The things that we say to people matter so much. He says this, with the tongue, this is strong, so listen. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with our tongue, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. We walk into this building. We drop our kids off in the back. We come sit in our seat. And we are set up to worship the God of the universe. We've got great music. Our songs have great lyrics. We have an awesome band who loves the Lord, and they are leading you to the feet of the cross. And we come in here, and we praise God with this mouth. But then Monday morning rolls around, right? And that guy walks into work who you know is just the worst, okay? We all know that guy. Maybe you're that guy. I don't know. But we all have that moment where we're like, oh, that guy, not today. It's been a long morning. My car wouldn't start. The coffee broke. I spilled it walking in. I didn't get to eat my breakfast. I woke up late. I didn't get my shower. My hair looks crazy. Not today. Don't talk to me today. Today's not the day. And then sometimes we say things that we regret. We put that person down. We tell them they're not smart enough. We tell them, just let me do it because you're going to get it wrong. Maybe you're not like actually cussing someone out at work, but are you showing them the love of Jesus? With the same mouth that you just used to praise God the day before? It breaks my heart. I've talked to so many waiters and waitresses that say Sundays are their least favorite day to be at work. The lunch crowd after church is their least favorite crowd of people. And how sad is that? That these, all of us, all these people who claim to love Jesus show up to a restaurant to someone who's making less than minimum wage and making them dread their day at work. Man, they should be excited that the church crowd is showing up to be there on a Sunday morning because they know that they're going to feel loved, that they're going to feel seen, that they're going to feel heard. But my goodness, don't let my tea get empty. Mm-mm. I'm thirsty. You got my order wrong? Are you kidding me? You didn't write it down on your notepad? What's wrong with you? They should know that when they show up to work on a Sunday and the church crowd shows up, that there's going to be generous, kind, loving people sitting at their table. But they say it's the worst day of the week for them. And I think that that reveals something about ourselves. That what we say is inside of us maybe isn't truly what is fully inside of us. He says a saltwater spring cannot produce fresh water. Listen, you can show up here and trick me. You can fool me. You can fool your home group. But when you sit down in a moment when life gets hard, even if it's only as hard as you got a chicken quesadilla instead of a steak quesadilla, your true self starts to come out. What is on the inside starts to spill out of the mouth. And so my challenge for us this week is to be careful with our words. To be careful with what we say. To fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit every day. This day, today, is not enough to sustain you through the week. It's not meant to. This is a place where we can come and be around other believers and praise and worship and be encouraged, but this is not filling you up enough for the entire week. We have to choose Jesus every single day. We have to fill ourselves with Jesus every single day. And if we don't, then it's not possible for him to come out of us. And I say it all the time, that it really stinks for Jesus that we're like the only thing showing him to the world because we are imperfect and we're not as good as him. But we are. We are Jesus' opportunity to be shown to the world. And I don't think we take that seriously enough. I don't think we fully sit in the reality that not only am I showing people who I am showing people the God of the universe. When they see me, when they interact with me, when they see how I react to things, they are seeing a picture of Jesus. And I hope and I pray that you are giving them a good, true picture of who Jesus is. I think there's a lot of people who don't like Christianity right now because there's a lot of bad pictures of Jesus out there. There just is. But I pray that they look at the people of Crosswind Church. And they don't just see that, oh man, every year in November, they give away a lot of money. They're willing to come and serve, and they're willing to come help us build this house, or they're willing to go get muddy with a bunch of kids out here on a Wednesday night. Like, all of that is fun, and all of that is good and great. But I pray that when people look at Crosswind Church, that they see Jesus himself. that they look and they're like, if somebody asked them, if you were to picture Jesus, what would you picture? And they would say, the people at Crosswind Church is who I picture. Because they love well. And they are true in what they say. It's not just something that they hang out and do just because. But that our words would reflect our true heart. That the truth of the cross would come out of our mouth as an evidence that he has changed who we are. Listen, God is not here just to like change your words, right? This isn't just a mindset of like, oh, I have to start speaking differently. I need to cuss less. I need to say I love you more or anything like that. God came to transform your heart, to transform your life. And when transformation happens inside of you, your words follow. The way you react to certain situations follows. The hope that we present to the people around us follows. But without the love of Jesus residing inside of you, you'll never say the right things. You'll never make people believe just because you have this knowledge. What makes people believe is that they can see the genuineness inside of you. You know when somebody is saying it just to say it, when it comes to anything, right? We've all probably had that outfit that everybody was like, oh, that looks so good. And you know they are lying, okay? Because you know there's a stain on it, there's a hole in it, okay? You didn't feel real good about it, but people are just nice sometimes. We can tell when people are serious and when they're not. Let's let people know that the God of the universe has transformed our hearts with our words. Be slow to speak. Right? In James chapter 1, we heard that. Slow to speak and quick to listen. There's wisdom in taking a break and saying the truth of the gospel. So as you leave this place, consider that. What is going on inside of you? Don't think about the words you're going to say or how you're going to be encouraging. Think about your relationship with Jesus. Are you actually in for this? Like, is this actually for you? Or is this just something that you do because, like, your family has always gone to church, so we just go to church, right? Are you actually in for Jesus? Are you letting Jesus change who you are? And if you're not, man, come talk to us in the Starting Point Room because I would love to help you get on the right track for that. But if you're saying, yes, I'm in, I'm all in on this, don't let it just be a Sunday morning thing. We have to fill ourselves up with Christ every single day. When we fill ourselves up with him, our words and our actions will reflect who he is and what he's done for us. So is what you're saying true? Is it loving? Does what you're saying reflect who Jesus is in your life? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for God, living a life that we couldn't live and dying on a cross so that we can experience your love and your goodness. And God, I just pray this morning that we would be a light in a dark world. And in the midst of chaos, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of frustrations, God, that our words would not reflect our humanness, but they would reflect your righteousness. God, I pray that you transform our hearts every day to be more like yours. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.